Gurugram, I got the report that they, different devotees cooked different items. Even children also prepared things. No wonder it was a very nice prasad. I was thinking, I missed it. How many devotees are going, have to leave to go for, go back to Gurugram? Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, I was actually supposed to meet you all after lunch today. And that was, I was originally planning to come here yesterday, and then, so, thank you very much for making such beautiful arrangements for our guests here. Our guests in the holy dham of Bharatvarsha, Dharmakshetri, Kurukshetri. India is the Dharmakshetra. And so that is how we have to treat this land. And so those who are Bharatvasis, they have to... What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say about the Bharatvasis? Bharat bhumite hoilo manushya janmajar. What was the rest of it? Right. Janma sarthak kori karo paro upokar. Those who are born in the land of India, Bharatvarsha, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying that they must make their life successful. Janma sarthak kori. Making their life worth its while. Well, the word sarthak means making it successful, making it worth living, worth its while. Karo paro upokar, benefit others. And how to benefit others? Jare dekho tare kaho Krishna upade. Whoever you see, you instruct him about Krishna. So, and then Prabhupada gave another understanding of this point. That Bharatvasi doesn't necessarily mean those who are just born in India. But those who are practicing the process of Krishna consciousness, those who are leading their lives following the instructions of the Vedas. They are Bharatvasis. So one may not be living in India, but if one practices the process of Krishna consciousness, he is a true Bharatvasi, he is a real Bharatvasi. And this benefit is open to all, is meant for all. Krishna consciousness is the constitutional position of every living entity. Everyone must receive it and distribute it. Just receiving is not enough. Just receiving is not the ultimate conclusion. The consideration is, after you receive it, then what do you do? Like for example, when somebody receives a lot of wealth, but he doesn't give it to others, he keeps it for himself. What do we call him? We call him Kripana, miser. He has the wealth, but he doesn't utilize it by giving it to others. And what is the opposite to Kripana? Mahajana, a great soul, great personality. And who is a great personality? Who is a Mahajan? Who distribute Krishna consciousness, who gives it out to others. Now we have a choice after getting Krishna consciousness. Should you become a Kripana or should you become a Mahajana? So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us the process of becoming a Mahajana. How to become a Mahajana? How to become a Mahajana? Jare dekho tare kaho. Krishna upadesh. Whoever you see, give him Krishna consciousness. Distribute Krishna consciousness. And this is how we actually spread the real culture. Actually, it's a very, very important responsibility we have. And Srila Prabhupada took so much trouble to fulfill that desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like Prabhupada left Vrindavan, you will see that how wonderful Vrindavan is for spiritual purpose, to practice spiritual life. The most ideal place. And Prabhupada had the most coveted place in Vrindavan. Radha Damodar temple. Prabhupada had a permanent place in Radha Damodar temple. Can you imagine, just next to Rupa Goswami's Samadhi, besides the temple, Radha Damodar, which is one of the seven most glorious temples of Vrindavan. Not seven, nine actually. Nine temples are considered to be the central pivots of Vrindavan. And Radha Damodar is one of them. And Radha Damodar becomes even more glorious because Radha Damodar is the place where Rupa Goswami's Samadhi is. And Prabhupada had a place there. But Prabhupada was not really content being here. We can see when we read Prabhupada's life, Prabhupada was, although he had a place in Vrindavan, but what he was doing, time and time again, he was going to Delhi from Vrindavan to print his books, print the magazines, distribute them in Delhi. And eventually this was just a preparation to go to the West. And fortunately, the arrangement, the opportunity came. Prabhupada was actually prepared to go anywhere out of India. At one time, Prabhupada was trying to go to Japan. But we can well imagine, if Prabhupada went to Japan, what could he have achieved there in Japan? But Krishna actually made the right arrangement, and Prabhupada also made the right decision. When she approached Sumati Morarji, the chairperson of the Scindia Steam Navigation Company, Prabhupada wanted to go to America. He didn't want to go to England. He didn't want to go to Europe. He wanted to go to America. Because Prabhupada knew, or Krishna inspired Prabhupada to go to America, because that is the place. That was the place to go. Anyway, that's how Prabhupada started. At the age of 70, goes to America, starts to preach, under so many difficulties. No place to stay, and naturally he didn't have any money. He had these books that he printed, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. He would just go out and distribute those books and get some money, and that was his source of income in America. And of course then it started to happen. Some young boys and girls came forward, started to help him. And then a Hare Krishna explosion. It just happened like an explosion. It became such a popular movement. But Prabhupada didn't want to take any credit for that. He was behind just inspiring, guiding those youngsters, inspiring them, guiding them, facilitating them. That was the thing. Like he was facilitating those young boys and girls. And they also responded. America and then England, London. And then George Harrison, the Beatles, became inspired. This is how wonderful things are happening. Those days, Beatles were the most prominent persons in the world, at least to the youth of the world. And so this is how the movement started to spread. And miraculously it spread all over the world. Within a short span of 10 years' time. And it is continuing to spread. I think all of you came, most of you came, after Srila Prabhupada left this planet. But you came. You all came, and many more will come. Many more will come. We can't imagine what is going to happen to this world by Krishna's divine arrangement. We saw how it happened by Krishna's divine arrangement, by Srila Prabhupada going to America. Amazingly, Krishna consciousness movement started to spread. And it is growing. In spite of so many difficulties, at least it surprises me. Like I know internally how many problems we have in ISKCON. But in spite of all our internal problems, yeah, ek bar maaf kiya gaya hai. Theek. In spite of our internal problems, meaning difficulties. We have so many difficulties actually. Like one difficulty was we had to face so many legal suits in America. The last one costed us about $16 million. For a growing movement like ours, to come up with $16 million was not easy. Prior to that, another law case, about $5 million. Just to give you an idea, what kind of problems we had been facing internally. But in spite of that, the movement is growing. Today we have more than 600 temples in the world. And we have a couple of million followers. Now when it starts to really, really grow, we can't imagine what's going to happen to the world. An intelligent class of people are looking for something. Like people are, in one hand, they're becoming averse to religion. And I say it's a good sign. Their aversion to religion is actually their recognition that what is going on in the name of religion is not desirable. But there is the right spiritual understanding. And ISKCON is the only movement that's actually giving it to them. So people, intelligent class of people, are looking forward to the real substance, real thing. Just as when Srila Prabhupada went to America, the youth of America were looking for a positive alternative, a counterculture. Not what is going on. They were not satisfied with that. They wanted something that has proper meaning, proper ideals. And when they got it, they responded. Now also, in a way, I feel that the world is getting prepared for another such spiritual boost, a revolution. The intelligent class of people are seeing what's going on in the name of religion is not really what should be, what should a religion be. Therefore, their attitude is they don't have any religion. Last year I was in a program, not last year, this summer actually, I was in a program and I mentioned that 48% of the British citizens don't have any religion. Officially it has been. But I was corrected, no, that was last year's report. This year's report is 56% Britishers don't have a religion. But they believe in spirituality, most of them. They don't have a religion, but they believe in spirituality. So that's a good indication that they are prepared, they are rejecting the wrong stuff, but open to find the right one. Spirituality, that is actually the substance is. Many of you are from London. Do you remember last summer I had a program at Anil Agarwal's house? Was anyone of you there at that program? Anyway, yeah, that was actually a special program. Anil Agarwal is one of the richest Indians. And whenever I go to UK, generally he invites me to a program in his house. And some very nice people were, you know, successful, well-established individuals were invited. And in that program, during the question-answer session, One person asked me a question. What's the difference between religion and spirituality? What's the difference between religion and spirituality? And my answer was, religion is the means to understand the spiritual reality. Gaurari, you are not there, yeah? In that program? You are there, I think, yeah. What is the question was, what's the what's the difference between religion and spirituality? And my answer was, religion is the means to understand the spiritual reality. Beyond this material nature, there is another reality, the spiritual reality. And religion is the process or the means by which we can understand that reality. And then I explained that just as physics is the means to understand energy, chemistry is the means to understand the elements, mathematics is the means to understand numbers. And just as physics is a science, chemistry is science, mathematics is science, religion is a science. It's a means to understand the spiritual reality. It's a science. It's not faith. Anyway, then I went into explaining about the spiritual reality and means to, and pointing out that all the religious leaders that came, they all spoke about that reality. They didn't speak about this world, they spoke about that world. They spoke about our identity being spiritual. Every religion will accept that. Our identity being spiritual. And God is the Supreme Personality from whom we all came. Anyway, that that caused quite an appreciation and, I would say, interest. So much so that the program went on till 9 o'clock. And at 9 o'clock was the dinner. And where I was sitting, people are coming one after another to ask me questions, and it went on till 11 o'clock. So this is the indication that people are eager to know what is what. People are interested to find a real solution to the problems that the world is facing today. And here we are. Prabhupada has given it. And mind you, like Prabhupada wanted us to distribute this knowledge. Here in Vrindavan in 1977, just a couple of months before Prabhupada left this planet, a few months before Prabhupada left this planet, in Vrindavan, Prabhupada organized a program. You know what the program was? Life comes from life. Prabhupada came to Vrindavan practically to leave his body. But what was Prabhupada doing? Still Prabhupada was thinking of spreading Krishna consciousness in a scientific way. It's a program where prominent scientists were invited in Vrindavan. And some of our scientists, devotees, Prabhupada put them up in the front. And Sarup Damodar Maharaj, he was a scientist, he was heading the project, BI, Bhaktivedanta Institute. And so this is how Prabhupada wanted. Prabhupada didn't want us to just get into some easygoing, you know, practices, like get into Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes in Vrindavan. Even in Vrindavan, Prabhupada was not getting into Radha Krishna's intimate pastimes a few months before he left the planet. But he was thinking of how to spread this movement properly. And the way to do it is through science. Because why science? Because the in the name of science, the biggest damage is being made in this world. People are, in the name of science, people are becoming atheists. They're promoting atheism in the name of science. So that's why Prabhupada wanted to smash that. Through science, you prove, you reveal their misdemeanors. You expose them. They're bluffing. Prabhupada openly spoke about it. The scientists bluff. A clear presentation. Scientists bluff. They're bluffing. Life comes from matter. Why don't you prove that life comes from matter? Science means you have to experimentally prove it. If you can't prove it, then it's not science. Prove that that life comes from matter. And then you claim life comes from matter. In the name of science, what you are doing is just bluffing people. Life comes from life. That was Prabhupada's challenge. Life comes from life. And that's what we have to prove. And this is not difficult. It's from living parents that another life comes. Isn't it? Has there been any sign or indication that life came from matter? We don't even give up matter. Life comes from monkey. Man came from monkey. But they're saying, oh, Darwin's theory of evolution. Man came from monkey. And that's the missing link. So that is what we have to point out. And it's so easy, I tell you, it's so easy to make them understand about another reality which is beyond this. And there is two worlds, world of matter and world of spirit. Even here we see, matter is inert, no consciousness. But living entities are conscious. Body is made of matter, but they are conscious. What makes them conscious? Presence of the soul. Even a child can understand that. He passed away. When somebody dies, he passed away. The body is lying there, he passed away. Then who is he who passed away? The one who made this body alive. And as long as he was there, the body was functioning in such a wonderful way. But now that he is gone, this body is a lump of matter. There's a distinct difference between this table and me. Now. But if I die, there won't be any difference between the table and me. My dead body and this body is the same body. Inert matter. It's such a simple thing, but these people are so stupid that they don't recognize that. And others are also so stupid that they know, when they say that, they don't understand it. So that's what is happening in this world. Now we have to shake them up and wake them up. Jeep jago, jeep jago. Wake up, you sleeping souls. And wake up in your proper perception. See what is what. That also reminds me another incident. I was waiting. I even forgot where it was. It was somewhere in. I think in America. Yeah. And I was waiting. The flight has been announced. So that boarding started. So I went there. But boarding didn't. It was announced, but our bowling didn't start as yet because first they let the people in wheelchair to go into the boarding. So I was standing there, and next to me there was one European gentleman, nicely dressed up and very smart looking person. So he looked at me, I looked at him, and we smiled and we started to talk. And he turned out to be from, he's a person from Switzerland, and he's a scientist. And he is a biochemist. And so I asked him, what's the difference between organic and inorganic chemistry? So he gave me the bookish definition. But I told him that, but did it ever occur to you that all the organic substances are coming from living source? So he asked, what do you mean? So I said, organic substances are complex. How many of you are coming from background of chemistry? How many of you? Okay. You get my point? Organic compounds are very simple. But, I'm sorry, inorganic are very simple. Organic ones are complex. Carbon bonds with hydrogen and other. Multiple carbon bonds causing. But they all are coming from living source. Does it make sense? Right? So he asked, what do you mean? So I explained to him, and I gave an example, that the simplest organic compound is methane, CH4. Carbon has four bonds, and all are held by hydrogen. Simple, CH4. One carbon and four hydrogens, right? And I asked that, can you make it in a laboratory? He said, yes, we made it. Then I said, then why don't you mass produce it? He said, because it's very expensive. It'll be very expensive. It won't be practical. So I told him, that means that you created an artificial environment where you made a carbon hold four oxygens. But in reality, in real environment, that is not possible. Whereas, the rotting weeds in a marshland produces methane. Then I asked him, what about sugar, six atoms of carbon and six molecules of oxygen. I'm sorry, water. There's plenty of carbon there, plenty of water there. Why don't you combine them? Have you been able to combine them? He admitted, no, we haven't been able. But a sugarcane plant is producing it. A living source. So easily it is producing. What to speak of all the complex organic compounds, like human body cell. If you want to write the formula of the human body cell, you will need a paper which will run about a few miles long. So, anyway, ultimately he admitted, I mean his admission was interesting. Interesting. Now this is the thing, like simple common sense. When something comes in contact with the spirit soul, it becomes so complex. What is generated from a spirit soul is so complex. And that is the potency of the spirit soul. So anyway, like, I mean, the point that I'm trying to make is that the Vedas have the perfect knowledge because it has been given by Krishna himself. And Srila Prabhupada gave it to us in such a simple way. And so let's take full advantage of that. Let's take full advantage of that. That is, let us understand it, let us appreciate it, let's receive it, and then let's give it out to others. So I think Gurugram devotees have to leave at 7 o'clock. When is the bus going to leave? Preeti, when is the bus going to leave?
Maharaj,
6 o'clock?
Yes.
Oh, anyway, so I won't hold you back because I think you have to reach there by 10 o'clock.
Please hold us back.
What's that? You hold the bus. Okay, do we have enough rooms? Anyway, it's up to you. I mean, if you want to stay. So, isn't it interesting? Like, what Prabhupada gave is so, so wonderful. So meaningful. And then when we accept it, then what happens? Our life improves in all respects. I'm sure you all, when you reflect on your life before you accepted Krishna consciousness and after you accepted Krishna consciousness, there's a distinct difference between these two lives, isn't it? I can't imagine if I continued that life, maybe I would have been dead by now. Or if not dead, maybe I would have committed suicide by now. But Prabhupada gave me a new life. It's such a wonderful life. One of the first things that I appreciated is that Prabhupada mentioned that in Krishna consciousness, we don't work. We simply enjoy what we are doing. That's the difference. Yeah? Work is drudgery, isn't it? Like, how many of you are working? How do you feel on Monday morning? And how do you feel on Friday evening? Right? I think that answers, yeah. Whereas devotees, our life is an endless holiday. It's an endless holiday. And I can tell you, the doors are open. Whoever wants can come in. So that is how wonderful life Srila Prabhupada gave us. And during one of my early encounters with Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada just told me, offer this life to Krishna. And then he spoke to me explaining or elaborating on that for about half an hour. And then finally Prabhupada said, just offer this life to Krishna and see what happens. If nothing happens, what's the loss? It's just one life out of so many. What's the loss? Just experiment it with this life. Just offer it to Krishna and see what happens. And by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm still able to practice that process that Srila Prabhupada asked me to follow. And I tell you, there was never a moment when I lamented. And with the passing of time, it's becoming more and more more and more meaningful, more and more rejoicing, more and more joyful. Like here I am with all of you. What a wonderful occasion, isn't it? Looking forward to next few weeks together with you. Away from, far from the madding crowd. Of course, in Vrindavan also you have some crowd. But that crowd is not going to affect us. Like we'll be in our own world. And we are trying to create as much, make you comfortable, make your living as comfortable as possible. If you have any difficulty, please let us know. So far, did you face any difficulty? Anyway, if you have any difficulty, don't hesitate to let me know. And if you don't have access to me directly, tell Krishna Kishore, he's my secretary here. And also, we have a group of devotees who are organizers, who are involved. Krishna Kishore. Okay, Krishna Kishore, you stand up first. This is Krishna Kishore Das. He's taking care of me. And there's another group who are here to take care of all of you. Krishna Kishore. So I thought five. No? Oh, okay. The others are there. Just not look at me. So they'll take care of you. And anyway, please don't feel shy or reluctant to tell us if you need some arrangements, if you need some adjustments to be made. So consider that you have come to my care. All right. And I'll try my best to make your stay as pleasant as possible. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna. I'm happy to be here. Actually, yesterday my condition was so bad, I was wondering whether I would be able to come at all. Like, the night before last, I couldn't sleep. It was so painful. I developed some pain in my ankle. And I get it from time to time, but this time was, extremely painful. Couldn't sleep the whole night. But then, we have a doctor, and he gave some medicine, and I'm perfectly all right. Krishna Kishore called the airlines, not only changed my flight, but arranged for a wheelchair and this and that, and everything was arranged. But I didn't take any advantage of any of them. Delhi airport, the walk was very long, but I walked. And once again, I appreciate the allopathic medicine. Suman is a doctor. I was looking at him. Suman also used to be my secretary for some time. And generally, I used to tend to criticize allopathic treatment in order to promote Ayurvedic treatment. But today I must give credit to allopathic treatment also. Prabhupada also admitted, I'll give you an instance. Prabhupada had some problem with his kidney. Prabhupada last day, you know, phase of his life, he had some problem with his kidney. And at one time, he was having difficulty passing urine. But then, I don't know who convinced Prabhupada to take that medicine. Must be one doctor there. I was not there at that time. And Prabhupada was made to take just half of a Lasix. There's a tablet called Lasix. So he didn't take the full tablet. He took half of it. And it worked. Then Prabhupada said, after all it works. About allopathic treatment. So after all it works. You have to give them the credit that after so many years of research and things, they develop the medicines. And it does work. So, okay, I'm happy to be here. And I'm looking forward to spending the time with you all for the next few weeks. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Because of the Muslim atrocities, they're breaking the temples, breaking the deities. One of the generals of Akbar, and then his great Man Singh, and then Jai Singh actually took those deities out of Vrindavan. Not Man Singh. Man Singh actually helped Govindaji's temple to Rupa Goswami to build Govindaji's temple. But his grandson Jai Singh actually took the deities out of Vrindavan and took them to Jaipur. And then Madan Mohan went from Jaipur to Karoli, and Gopinath also shifted. Only Govindaji's deity is there in Jaipur. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada Ki.